And 33rd Annual Convention of the Episcopal Church in Connecticut last year, I suggested that we are in a new missional age, an age in which we are called to follow Jesus, God in Jesus Christ, and to be about God's mission in the world right here and right now. You might ask then, what does it look like to follow Jesus in this new missional age? Here's a story from the South Central Region missionary, Rachel Field, giving a glimpse into this new missional age. She writes, on August 30th, five people from five different Episcopal churches across the South Central Region gathered under a pop-up tent on the banks of the Housatonic River. We set up tables and posters that read, free blessings, and offered prayers for people participating in the BH Cares 5K race for opioid addiction. That afternoon, we held hands. We cried and we prayed with people we never met before, but who were looking for some moment of connection while battling the death-dealing realities of addiction. We heard the stories of family members and those in recovery at a candlelight vigil following the race. And we prayed together for deliverance from the disease of addiction. It was a small thing to be together under a pop-up tent in the heat of August. But on that day, in that moment, she ends, God broke through in the faces we saw and in the hands we held. All of us broken and healing together. You see, God does break through in the midst of our struggles of our everyday existence, calling us out of our pain, suffering, and sinfulness, calling us to join in something bigger than ourselves, namely the movement of God in this world. Our presiding bishop describes this as the Jesus movement, where we are called to join the loving, liberating, life-giving God, turning the nightmares of sexual abuse and harassment, racism and white supremacy, and global climate change into God's dream for the future. Jesus is indeed calling us to turn from our sinful ways to walk the way of love, proclaiming the kingdom of God. In this new age, the focus for our lives as Christians is shifting from the primary preoccupation of church as an institution to a new engagement of what the living God in Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is up to in our daily lives and in the wider world. We are being called to move from a church preoccupation to a mission focus on God's mission. God's mission in our neighborhoods. The old industrial age is giving way to a new digital age where information access and electronic communication order our lives. In the industrial age, an economy of scarcity reigned and the accumulation of goods and resources was the primary goal. In today's economy of abundance, where transportation, housing, and manifold other goods and services are shared through social media platforms like Uber, Lyft, and Airbnb, people are more likely to seek personal transformation over the accumulation of goods. The new age is fundamentally relational rather than transactional, and values connection over growth. Now, you might be asking yourself, how do we follow Jesus in this new missional age? What's the plan? Well, the bad and the good news is that there is no single initiative, strategic plan, or roadmap that will get us to the kingdom of God in this new age. Because what we are talking about is a fundamental spiritual transformation of individuals and of our communities. Such transformation requires deep and sustained spiritual practices to bring about metanoia, which is a change of the heart, mind, and soul. With the encouragement and direction of missiologist Alan Roxburgh, a handful of parishes across the diocese have been engaging in ancient and new spiritual practices in our living local joining God experiment. These practices include, first, listening to God by dwelling in God's Word, and listening to God as we encounter God's Holy Spirit in our neighborhoods in which we live, move, and have our being. Secondly, discerning, having listened to God in Holy Scripture, and by prayerfully walking and discovering God in our neighborhoods, we then come together as the body of Christ and ask ourselves, what do we perceive God might be up to in our midst? Where do we discern a call to join in the restoring and reconciling work of God in this world? Discerning where God might be active in our lives and in our neighborhoods. And then we experiment, try on new ways of being and acting, and frankly, where failures provide positive and constructive learning opportunities. Having tried on such experiments, we then come back together as the body of Christ, reflecting on what we have discovered God is up to in our lives and in our neighborhood. This reflection leads to a fifth practice of deciding. How do we want to live in order to follow Jesus more faithfully in a new missional age, proclaiming the kingdom of God? It is important to emphasize that these practices are not static, formulaic, or limited by time and scope. We are invited to embody continually the five spiritual practices of listening, discerning, trying on, reflecting, and deciding. Like the ongoing wheel of life, following Jesus in this missional age, wherever our fate will take us. I'm delighted to report that parishes and regions in the Episcopal Church in Connecticut are actively engaged in these practices, and God is blessing us with new life and new possibilities. Such ventures include, but not limited to, three parishes who meet regularly at Henry's Diner in Putnam to engage with and pray for those whom God brings into their midst. Five clergy from across the Northeast wrestling deeply with our legacy of slavery here in Connecticut, including a visit to one of our colonial churches where slaves were kept from white worshipers, making connections across our parishes in the Southeast region through the Shoreline Basic Needs Task Force, so housing insecure families can find warm places to live this winter. The aforementioned South Central Blessing Tent, offering prayers for those suffering from opioid addiction. Four parishes in the Southwest region collaborating in Laundry Love, where they join with neighbors who live on the margins of our society by sharing food, hospitality, and laundry services. A dozen lay leaders from three parishes in the Northwest participate in a lay preaching class, and in doing so find new life and meaning in Holy Scriptures. And parishes from the North Central and Northeast regions joining a boot party at Hartford City Hall, where warm boots and personal care packages were distributed to the city's homeless and disenfranchised residents last winter. Jesus is indeed here in all these glorious experiments, and God is up to glorious and new things in our midst. Thanks be to God, literally. The five spiritual practices of this new missional age are not only transforming our parishes and regions, but are also transforming our diocesan life as a whole. Today, in the Episcopal Church in Connecticut, we begin most of our diocesan meetings and gatherings by dwelling in the Word, as we have done at this annual convention, and as you did a few weeks ago with our consultant, Anne. At our annual convention in 2015, in response to the work of Trek CT, we decided to try on changes to our common life and the diocesan structures. The regions, region missionaries, mission council, and ministry networks are all experiments in God's mission. And we recently completed a region needs assessment, provided an opportunity for over 350 Episcopalians in Connecticut from 65 parishes that did include St. Peter's, 26 focus groups and 4 region convocations, along with 500 additional respondents to an online survey, to reflect deeply on what God is up to in our midst and where we might go next in this new missional age. And here I commend to you the overview of the needs assessment's final report entitled Following Jesus in a New Missional Age, which is found online on our ECCT website. In the future, I can imagine region leadership having access to an entrepreneurial fund so that new collaborative experiments in God's mission might be undertaken unhindered by financial constraints. I can imagine the development of new intentional Christian communities in each of our regions, including Episcopal Service Corps communities, new initiatives on college and university campuses, and intentional intergenerational Christian shared housing. I can imagine our space in Morris, currently known as Camp Washington, becoming the primary resource for Christian formation in the Episcopal Church in Connecticut. I can imagine our cathedral transformed into a flexible and collaborative space, supporting all of us in our call to be apostles in God's mission. Over the next year, I would like to work with a handful of willing parishes, small and big, urban, suburban, and rural, rich and poor, and walk with these parishes to raise new funds so that they might more faithfully participate in God's mission in their neighborhoods. And over the next year, I hope to engage individual Episcopalians in the possibility of joining with me and the wider Episcopal Church in Connecticut in helping to make these imaginations come true. One of my mentors in divinity school, theologian Harvey Cox, coined the phrase, "Not to decide is to decide." Not to decide is to decide. I pray that we in the Episcopal Church in Connecticut will not become fearful nor complacent about what God is doing in our midst. I pray we will decide to continue to follow Jesus in a new missional age and together, with courage and joy, proclaim the kingdom of God. Thank you.